You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
iPhone sales slide in China as a homegrown challenger takes a bite out of Apple's market share. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. Will Bain in for Leanna Byrne again today. Great, as always, to have your company. Yeah, China long been a key driver of growth for firms like Apple. So a warning from the researchers' Counterpoint today that its sales sharply dropped off to start the year could be reason for concern. Perhaps more so, the sharp rise in sales for Chinese domestic rival Huawei. Here's the BBC's Monica Miller to explain what's going on.
We've discussed this before. Chinese consumers just aren't feeling confident right now as the country's economy has started to slow down. So that means buying expensive items are really not in their budget at this point. So the price of an iPhone, which is at the higher end of the smartphone market, well, it is facing stiff competition from domestic brands like Huawei, a much cheaper brand. Huawei saw its sales jump 64% in its home market. Now, one analyst for the research firm Counterpoint who crunched these numbers said that Apple's share of the Chinese smartphone market dropped almost 16% from 19% last year. Now that puts it in fourth place as it fell from the number two spot.
A huge jump for Huawei. And this is a firm, I mean, regular listeners will be well aware, that's basically faced sanctions, pressure, political questions almost everywhere it's tried to work. So how is it managing to perform so strongly still?
Well, exactly. I mean, Huawei really struggled for years due to those U.S. sanctions after Washington essentially had cut its access to chip-making tools that are essential for it making its most advanced handset models. The U.S. and some European countries have even gone as far as calling Huawei a security risk, which is something the company has strongly denied. So when these numbers came out, it was a major surprise as the Chinese firm, again, was cut off from getting the tools it needs from those chips and the technology that's required to make its 5G mobile internet, which is what the U.S. had some strong reservations about.
The BBC's Asia Business reporter, Monica Miller, thanks so much for your time as always.
It's a pleasure.
Budget day here in the UK as we check in on the numbers now. Yeah, it could be the final budget as well before a general election here in the UK too. And the leaking coming out this morning, as we always get before these budgets, that personal tax is likely to be shaved by the finance minister a little bit later. London's FTSE 100 share index up 0.3% right now ahead of that. Now, a diplomatic row has broken out in Southeast Asia over one particular global superstar. Yep, you don't keep Taylor Swift out the news for very long, do you? As many as 300,000 fans are travelling to see her sold-out Eras tour as it stops off in Singapore. But that's caused tension with the city-state's neighbours, as the BBC's Izzy Greenfield reports.
Taylor Swift fans in Southeast Asia only had one option if they wanted to see the superstar perform: get to Singapore. All six of Taylor's concerts in the region are being played there, which means fans are spending thousands of dollars on tickets, hotels and restaurants. And the city-state's regional neighbours aren't happy about it. It turns out that the Singaporean government struck an exclusive deal with concert organisers to make sure that Singapore is the only place in Southeast Asia where she performs. And somewhat of a diplomatic row has broken out because of it. Countries are speaking out. A Filipino lawmaker said that exclusive deals aren't what good neighbours do. Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong defended Singapore, saying it wasn't being unfriendly by making a deal with the superstar.
our very own Swifty Izzy Greenfield reporting there. Now, a lot of global focus on concerns with shipping delays has been around the Red Sea, of course, in recent months. But the Panama Canal, another vital trade route linking the Pacific and Atlantic Oceans, is also facing major problems. And the root of them, pretty equally hard to tackle as well. The canal is running out of water. The BBC's Michelle Fleury reports from Panama.
This is our boat.
We're headed to see one of the hydrology stations on Lake Gatun.
Lake Gatun is the huge reservoir in the middle of the Panama Canal.
Can't you see the number?
It's Nelson Guerra's job to obsess about water levels. He's the Panama Canal Authority's hydrologist.
The level, as you see in the rule, is 81.20 feet.
And where should it be normally?
The level should be around 5 feet more.
The lack of water at the Panama Canal is causing a global headache. The number of vessels that can pass through here each day has been slashed from 36 to 24.
Eso es un problema porque,
José Cervantes from shipping company Agunsa told me this shortcut between the Pacific and Atlantic Oceans is the natural route, warning if it's blocked, alternatives are needed, meaning more time and extra costs.
Costs that are passed on to the consumer.
My name is Christian Good. I'm a farmer from Macon, Mississippi. These canals allow us to navigate as an inexpensive price, quick delivery times, which is so important. But without those canals, it really adds time.
Unlike the Suez Canal, the Panama Canal works by lifting boats up through a set of locks into an artificial lake 85 feet above sea level. Each ship passing through these locks requires around 50 million gallons of water, fresh water which comes from Lake Gatun and other reservoirs.
But it means the canal here is reliant on rainwater, which is in short supply. So here we are out on the locks.
Yes, Miraflores Locks, which is the first Panamax locks in the Pacific side, and it has two chambers.
Ilia Espina de Marotta, the canal's chief sustainability officer, says the drought, made worse by the El Niño weather phenomenon, is expected to last until May.
2023 has been the second driest year in the history of the Panama Canal. In the rainy season, which goes from May until December, we're supposed to get tons of rain and fill the lakes. This year, there was very little rain. We had El Niño year. And now that we're in summer, the lake started the summer with very low level. So we had to cut down on number of ships being able to transit the canal to maintain the lake level through the summer.
The Canal Authority is trying to reuse as much water as possible. It's considering building more reservoirs to store water and is even exploring cloud seeding to make it rain more.
Panama is famous for being one of the wettest countries in the world. Is this climate change?
We believe it's climate change. If you look at the world 2023, the Amazon River, very low. Mississippi River had to stop transits, very low level. Argentina, Uruguay, and then you see torrential rains somewhere else. So it's not only Panama, it's the world.
Another container ship is about to pass through the heavy metal gates of the Panama Canal. The problems here are a reminder that while other routes suffer disruption from politics and piracy, climate change may yet be the biggest crisis for global trade. In Panama, I'm the BBC's Michelle Fleury for Marketplace.
And I'm Will Bame with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Jerez, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.